This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay. Well, we've had an interesting morning around here, no doubt about it. NWGR Sports Radio 550. And now time for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. A lot of you are talking about the Brandon Bean interview with Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase from earlier today. You can find that interview on demand, WGR550.com. Also go to the YouTube page, by the way. YouTube was blowing up today. I love it. YouTube was blowing up. A lot of people in the bullpen, a lot of people talking about and chatting about when it was going on, but you can always go back and listen to it. A really interesting interview with Brandon Bean. And he came out, you know, kind of swinging at and pushing back at a notion that the Bills have not done enough at wide receiver and why that is. And it's created a lot of really good discussion. And that's fine. I think that it's valid to have that discussion from both sides of the argument and both sides of the aisle. I also think we should really look at what the Bills did do. And how the players they've added are going to impact their team in other ways, in other areas. Not just maybe what you think they haven't done or need to do still. That stuff still has to happen. And still can happen, I should say. But it's very interesting. It was fantastic radio and back and forth today between Bills general manager Brandon Bean and our morning show hosts Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. And if you want to continue on in that, you are more than welcome at 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, that's getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. But I'm just going to hear, I'm here to tell you right off the bat, like I'm not planning on spending the whole show talking about the Bills wide receiver room, if that's what you want to do. You can call in about it, no doubt. But there are 9 new players on this team who are going to have an impact in some way, shape, or form. Whether they actually have an impact on the field, on a 53-man roster, on game day, is yet to be determined. But they're going to impact how the roster is shaped. And I think we need to talk about all that. Because we went into the weekend still having questions about certain positions, certain areas, that they wound up, you know, they hadn't picked yet because, or what they, at least what they're going to do, I guess, in the draft on day number 3. I want to take you back, though, to last week, the week before, the week before, and the week before. For about a month, I've been confidently saying here on WGR that I believe the Bills would draft 2 defensive linemen and a cornerback in the first 3 picks. It's exactly what they did. And I was very confident in that because it's just the way it's lined up for knowing how this team has built their roster. And on top of that, what they needed after last year. And to Brandon Bean's point, to go back to that with Jeremy and Joe, what they needed to him from last year was more help in those areas. Not more help at wide receiver. They've had a little turnover there. But the help that was needed on this team, from their eyes, to me, is always pretty clear. It was defensive line and corner. And that's why I was confident to say for the last month and a half, the Bills would be drafting two defensive linemen and a cornerback. Now, what I didn't know was in which order. In fact, I had them taking a defensive lineman first. And I still think it could have happened if Tyleek Williams was on the board, which he was the guy I mocked to them. And I'm going to, full disclosure, like, I don't know how much they loved him or didn't love him, but Tyleek Williams did say after the draft, when he was drafted by the Lions, that the Bills told him they were going to draft him at number 30. Who knows if that's the case? I had the Bills taking Tyleek Williams. I thought he would be the guy. I thought defensive line would be the position they would focus more early on. Then the board starts to fall, and if you get to that point and a guy you like better at corner is there, like Max Harrison, then you take him, right? That's what the Bills did. So I'm here to talk about all of that today. And if you want to chime in, absolutely. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Like I said, you want to talk about wide receiver, totally fine. I'm going to be talking about all of it today because I think there's a real good discussion to be had about how other areas of this team look. You can be concerned about the wide receiver room all you want. I think you should be really concerned about what happened on defense last year and why the Bills have done what they've done this offseason to remake that side of the ball. I mean, I do a Bills roster chart that I tweet out every once in a while. And right now they're at 76 players. This is not including the reported undrafted free agent additions. That's going to happen. There's reportedly 12 of them, which gets them to 88. So just on the 76 through free agency and the draft, I always color code and have new additions. I have new additions in yellow. Let me count the new additions on defense versus offense, okay? Let's do this real quick. Here we go. New additions on defense. This is guys, these are guys I'm actually counting that, how am I counting them? That they weren't on the team at the end of the year in some capacity last year, even on practice squad, okay? On defense, here we go. Bosa, Hoyt, Landon Jackson, defensive end, that's three. Ogunjobi, Sanders, Walker, Deion, that's six. That's defensive tackles, three of them. How about five corners? Max Harrison, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong. We're up to 11. Safety. Excuse me, Derek Forrest, that's 12. 12 adds on defense. Offense, running back Darrington Evans, wide receiver Josh Palmer, Laviska Shenault, Caden Prather. They have added three receivers, by the way. They did lose two. Tight end Jackson Hawes, offensive lineman Chase Lunt, Kendrick Green. That's seven. Five more additions on defense than on offense. And on defense, those five additions, far more that could be put up the depth chart of the additions. You take a look at the offense of all the guys they brought in, all of them. I think the only two that actually are going to have a legitimate chance of playing this year that are, I would put over 50% chance of even making the team. Josh Palmer, of course he's on it, and Jackson Hawes, the new tight end. That's it. Chase Lunt might. I think he has a chance. We can talk about him in a little while. He was a draft pick. He might. Kendrick Green was an offensive lineman. Laviska Shenault, maybe. He's got a chance. He's got to show not only kick return ability, but, you know, obviously they like, but he's got to help in the wide receiver area. Caden Prather, Darrington Evans. It's Palmer and Hawes, really. That's it. The other guys are like, okay, maybe. Not the case on defense. Bosa's making the team. Hoyt's making the team. Landon Jackson's making the team. When I say make the team for Hoyt, he'll be back after week six. Same with Ogunjobi. Same with Sanders. Same with Deion Walker. Like, all six of those guys are playing. So is Max Harrison. So is Jordan Hancock. I mean, Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson, at least one of them is, maybe both. So that's why I wrote at WGR550.com my reaction to the Buffalo Bills draft. There were a couple things, and I'll get into this right now, about how I feel the Bills approach this, which is, number one, the thing that I wrote at WGR550.com was, it reminded me kind of Oprah Winfrey handing out cars. You know, that viral that viral video, you get a car and you get a car and you get a car. That was Brandon Bean saying, you get a defender, you get a defender, and you get a defender to his defensive coaching staff. Like, that's what he did. And I think clearly why is exactly what I just talked about. They fell out of the top 10 in rankings on defense in both points and yards last year for the first time since 2020. Whereas the inverse actually happened on offense, they scored over 30 points a game. They had the league's MVP at quarterback for the first time he ever won it. And that's why they have concentrated where they have, even if you feel they should have gone somewhere else, which I think is totally understandable given the names that you see at wide receiver. And you want more. But from a Bills standpoint, hey, we just showed you we can do it here. And even better than we ever have, ever. Bills set a franchise record for points scored last year. From a Bills perspective, it's we have showed you. It's not just a faith, not just like a leap of faith. We actually did this last year. Scored close to 31 points a game, set a franchise record, second most in the league. And then if you count the playoffs, we're the highest scoring team in the league. So there's the argument, right? That goes both ways. The other thing that struck me about the Bills draft this year, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, Matt Bove and I, and it's always game day in Buffalo, we did a podcast. It's an Odyssey podcast. Find it. You can download it, listen to it. You can watch it online at Sal Sports on YouTube. And a couple weeks ago, we had a really cool discussion that I think transferred into social media, and a lot of you chimed in. I really appreciated it, which was comparing Brandon Bean's drafts against Brett Veach's drafts. And the reason I use Brett Veach is because he's the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. They've won a couple of Lombardis. They've been the Bills' biggest rival over this time period. And, of course, the other biggest thing is they've both been the general manager of their teams, respectively, for the exact same amount of time. They've had 7 drafts, now 8. So Matt and I put Brandon Bean's drafts against Brett Veach's drafts. And the thing that I think we both came out of this with was Brandon Bean has had a much higher floor with his draft picks. Guys that have contributed more to the roster throughout the draft. Guys that they've developed and said, I need you to play. Bam, plug in. Bam, you go here. And they've been able to do that. Guys that have been 6th and 7th round picks have played. I mean, you can be out there and say DeMar Hamlin was a bad draft pick. He wasn't. That's just dumb to say. He was a 6th round pick that played 4 years and started at safety almost every game for a team that went to the AFC Championship game. That is a good draft pick for a 6th rounder. Maybe not the overall high ceiling player, which I'll get to and why in a second I say that. Jaquan Johnson was a good 6th round pick as a 4-year player. He got 4 years. You get 4 years out of a 6th round pick? That's great. They don't have to be all pros. I'm not sitting here and saying that. But that's a good draft pick. But that's a floor. That's a nice high floor. But what was missing from Bean's drafts versus Veach's drafts were, it appears, and if you take a look at the accolades and things like that, the Kansas City Chiefs under Brett Veach have had more of the higher ceiling guys, the guys that have reached a higher level, the accolades, the more elite talent at their positions. He's also had more misses, though, believe it or not. Go look at it, folks. We did this exercise. So when we did this, we said, okay, Brandon Bean is a higher floor. Guys he drafts, they can contribute, they develop. The Bills are very good at developing. They might not get to the ceiling, the hope, and they haven't necessarily. Obviously, Josh Allen has, and we could pick apart individual, but collectively. Whereas Veach has had a few more of those guys, he's also had more swings and misses. Guys that just aren't even playing the league, guys out of the league in a couple years. What this draft represents for me is maybe more of a chance to have those guys. I will say, I think Max Harrison is a really big swing as a first-round pick. But I think the Bills have to start taking swings because that's how you get to the elite talent. That's how you get to a Josh Allen, is you take that swing. Because of his size, because of his, lack of ability to play the run, due to his size, maybe. Bean says it's not because of lack of effort, obviously. Maybe we're having a discussion about Max Harrison in 2 years and going, it just never worked. And you hope that's not the case, right? This is a first-round corner again. I also think there's a chance we're having a discussion in 2 years about Max Hairston going, oh my God, they hit it out of the park with that kid. He's a ball hawk and a freak because he's so fast. Like, that to me is the difference between this draft and other drafts under this regime. I think the Bills have taken some swings here. That's not to say that it's super risky. I just give more of an opportunity and chance for some of these guys to be on the more higher talented spectrum of the ceiling versus just drafting for a really nice floor, if all that makes sense to you. And that stands out to me about this draft. And it starts with Max Hairston, but it goes throughout. I think Landon Jackson might be my favorite pick in this draft because I think he does have a really good floor, but I think this kid could also have a really high ceiling. Look at his body, look at the way he plays, his demeanor, look at his fit in the scheme. I think all of that put together, you could be talking about Landon Jackson having a really nice career. I think he's going to play a long time anyway and have a good career. Like, I think the floor for him, you might not love me hearing this name, but this guy's had a nice floor. It's AJ Epenesa. But I think that's just the floor. I think he has a much higher ceiling, even probably than, to me, he could have a higher ceiling than Greg Rousseau if he stays on this track. And Greg Rousseau's a really good player. Maybe I shouldn't put that on him. But I just love this kid and what he brings. So that's what I think about how this draft took shape, which is, yeah, we're drafting guys that fit was a big thing. Like, they fit what we do, what we're all about, not just on the field, but off the field. But I think they took some swings in this draft, and those swings might not turn out. They might also turn out to be great. But that's what's been missing here, and that's what Josh Allen was. Josh Allen was a swing. So we're going to go big. We're going to go big or go home, right? So that's what I like about it, because it's kind of a departure in that regard. Now, I don't know if the Bills would agree. They'd say, no, we took really good football players. They're all good. They can come in here. They can play right away. And that's fine. I just think this draft represents a little bit more of that particular type of attitude than what we've seen from the Bills in the past. 803-0550, what do you think of the Bills draft? What do you think about what they have to do still? We're going to have a couple of different guests come on today. We're going to talk with Sal Marana at 10:30 from Rochester. Got it, something we're going to be doing with Sal here, and I want everybody to know it's going to be really cool. Sal's going to join me every Monday at 10:30 in the summer. Why? Because it's the summer, and we could talk baseball in the summer, and he's such a baseball guy. But we're going to talk Bills draft. He was in there all weekend. He was covering the draft. We'll touch on baseball a little bit, but today's going to be about the Bills draft with Sal mostly. And then every Monday through the summer, I'm going to bring Sal on at 10:30. We're going to have two Sals here on WGR. And we're going to touch on the Bills, and we're going to talk some baseball because it's summertime, and why not? And it's not just Yankees, by the way. I told Sal we're going to do this. We got to talk Mets and Blue Jays and Red Sox and everything. So that'll be cool. We'll get a little baseball talking in the summer. I think everybody, I've heard from you in the past, like, why don't you guys talk more baseball? It's tough sometimes. It doesn't resonate here necessarily on Buffalo Radio, and there's so many of you that are fans of a lot of teams, but I think there's a spot for it in the summer. We could do it once a week, so we're going to do that. But today, Sal's going to come and join me, and at 10:30, we'll talk a lot about what the Bills did or didn't do in the 2025 NFL draft. Then, coming up at 11 o'clock, frequent guest of the program, Aaron Gershon of Kentucky. I say that I'm a frequent guest. Aaron Gershon is going to join us. Josh is laughing. He was just on last week when the Bills drafted Max Hairston. I'm kidding, because he's been on once before, but they draft Max Hairston. I bring him on and go, oh, let's talk about this kid. And what I said to him on the radio, Josh, remember, I go, who knows? Maybe they'll draft Deion Walker. I said that to him.
I remember that too. When I saw that pick, I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. I wonder if we're ever going to talk to that guy again. And here we are.
Yeah, he's going to join us at 11 o'clock to talk about Deion Walker. And then at 11:15, because we won't spend too much time with him to talk about Walker, we're going to have Alan Cole on. Alan Cole is a South Carolina Gamecocks beat writer at Rival Gamecock. There you go. Rivals Gamecock, excuse me. Covers football for them. And we'll get a little bit of intel on TJ Sanders, who, by the way, was also coached at South Carolina by University at Buffalo head football coach Pete Lembo. I reached out to Pete Lembo, I know him well, and said, hey, can you tell me a little bit about this kid the Bills are getting from South Carolina? You coached him. Here's exactly what he wrote back to me via a text. I will read this to you. I gotta find this now. I'm looking at my Twitter feed. I should have just looked at my, okay, text. Pete Lembo says to me via text, quote, TJ was one of my favorite players at South Carolina. He's a light up the room kind of guy, and he's really sharp from a football IQ standpoint. He was an asset on our special teams. He and I have already been in touch, and I look forward to reconnecting soon. End quote. Pete Lembo on TJ Sanders. Alan Cole on TJ Sanders at 11:15. You on the Bills draft right now. Mike in Rochester. First up, go ahead, Mike. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
I think the draft went well, but I think there's a factor out there that people are just not looking at. Everyone knows that Josh Allen is the key to our team. And it blows my mind that people think that this offense is going in a direction that Josh does not want. Josh is the one that he's behind all this. This whole everyone eats thing is him. You see the hat on his head during the interview. Everything that's going on is going through Josh. I completely believe that. And I don't think that anybody can really debate it. But when they question, you know, what we're doing from an offensive standpoint, honestly, Josh is the one that has all the control. So keep that in mind. All of these fans out there, the whole, you know, the whole wide receiver train. Geez, it's been going on forever. I wonder why Brandon took such a harsh, you know, not harsh. It was legitimate. What he said to those guys this morning has been building for a long time. It's been building in me for a long time. So all I wanted to say is I think they're doing a great job. We have never had a team that's been this successful since the 90s. And everybody wants to throw darts at the little things. Be happy with what we have. The drought was too long. Let's move on. Thanks, Sal.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the call. I know you're not saying this, but I just want to be clear. I don't think you're saying this. Josh isn't picking the players. But I actually agree. You consult Josh Allen about the offense, right? I mean, this has been documented that the Bills and Joe Brady say, we start with what Josh likes. That's what he says. Not just the plays. Like, what do you like to do? Like, what do we want to keep in, take out? So I also think that you'd be naive to think that the franchise quarterback they just gave $330 million to doesn't have some sort of say in what he likes in his wide receiver room. He's not picking the players, though. Brandon Bean wants to pick a wide receiver. He's going to do it. If he doesn't want to pick a wide receiver, he's not. Not that Josh Allen's making that call, but I absolutely agree with that call that says, and the point of, yeah, Josh has say in what happens on the offense, and why shouldn't he? He's the one that's got to, it's got to work. He's got to make it work. And you're paying him more than anybody's ever made at the position ever in the history of this league. Let's go to Bill in Toronto. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR.
How you doing, Sal?
Good, thanks.
Sal, listen, the last time I talked to you, I told you I was heading down to Hong Kong and to watch the Super Bowl and to watch the playoffs. Just got back about a week ago and trying to get the sea legs under me, man. I'll tell you, that's a long flight. But listen, Sal, I'm still reeling from the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you, I agree with you with the draft. I like the draft, and I like taking a swing. This team is set for a while. And now's the time. You're not rebuilding. So I love everything we went with. I agree with you 100%. I'm sorry to have to go back because I didn't get a chance to talk to you. But what this team has to do, I mean, picking players and stuff like that, a lot of it's a crapshoot. But like you say, take a swing when you can. Where I get mad at this team, and I'm still reeling about this loss, and I'll tell you, it's funny watching the game in a different country. But I'll tell you this, Sal. If Kansas City has the ball with 3 minutes and 33 seconds left, you know they're going to get at least a field goal or win the game. And this is where I think we come up short. I don't like the play calling on that last drive. I mean, they came through our line like we didn't have an offensive line out there. Where was the trick play? Where was the rugby play? Where was that Kansas City play that always seems to get them the first down? I mean, Josh just got smothered on three plays, and yes, we should have made the catch on that throw. But I mean, that would have been a fluke play anyway. We have got to we can demolish the big, the weak teams. We can even beat the good teams, but we need that one play. And that comes from the coaching, that one play that gets us through. I'm still mad, Sal.
Okay, I can tell. I can tell. I know. It's been, you know, we've digested this for a few months. It's all good. But, you know, I mean, this is a call from 2 months ago, too, about what happened there. We all know they called a great blitz. Unfortunately, the Bills didn't have the right, you know, protection on, and that's what happened. We've talked with players about it, Bill, and you're right. It doesn't just come from coaching. Yes, I agree. I think James Cook should have been on the field during that last drive, but you also have to have players make plays sometimes, and that didn't happen. So, if that makes sense, buddy.
Right. Yeah, okay.
I got you. I got you, Bill. I got to run. I got to get to Sal Majorana. Thanks for the phone call. All right, we'll take a timeout. Sal Majorana joining me from the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He was down in the Bills media room all weekend long as well. We'll get his thoughts on the 2025 Bills and NFL draft. And your phone call's on the way as well. Stay on hold if you're there. 803-0550 here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.